Pierre Lumumba here in the center of the city of Nairobi in the Republic of Kenya, continuing with our conversations about great African heroes. Today we look at an iconic South African, Oliver Reginald Kaizana Tambo. Tambo will be remembered by many for the great things that he did, but his life in the movement starts in the 1940s when he is a student at the Fort Hare University jointly with Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela. They meet in Fort Hare and together are members of the Christian Union and ultimately members of the Student Union. In 1942, both of them are expelled from the university, and in 1944, Mandela and Oliver Tambo form the Youth ANC League as members of the African National Union. Their involvement in the movement is critical for the fight against apartheid because they approach Albert Luthuli at that time and tell them that there is need to change the manner in which the ANC wages the struggle. Until then, the ANC has been involved in a struggle where they do not involve boycotts and petitions, and they succeed in persuading them. And the ANC takes a totally different trajectory, culminating in their involving in boycotts and other major activities for the African National Congress. The dalliance between Oliver Tambo and Nelson Mandela culminates in the formation of the first black-only law firm, that is the firm of Mandela and Tambo. And they are involved in the process of litigating for the interests of the people of South Africa. Their involvement is so intense that in 1958, Oliver Tambo is banned under the Suppression of Communism Act. And that is when the decision is made to ensure that Tambo leaves the country. It is Frene Ginwala that arranges for Tambo to escape from South Africa. He is exiled in London in 1960. But his wife, Adelaide, remains in South Africa. And that is when Tambo becomes a very iconic figure in the history of South Africa. When Albert Luthuli dies in suspicious circumstances, Oliver Tambo remains or becomes the acting president of the African National Union. And it is iconic and really a statement of Tambo's character that from 1967 through to 1991, he describes himself as the interim president of the African National Congress. It is during that period that he is involved in the organization of the ANC outside of the continent of Africa. And it is instructive that that happens after the Rivonia trials. Many people often ask, why was Tambo not among the people who was in Rivonia? But he was already in London and moving around the world, agitating for the death of the apartheid regime. In 1963, 1964, Oliver Tambo visits USSR and they received $300,000 for the activities of the African National Congress. Of course, he is quick to state that having received the money from the USSR or Russia does not mean that he is a communist. He moves around into Europe and he moves around also ensuring that younger people in the ANC are involved in the movement. That is how he becomes the mentor of Thabo Mbeki, whose father, Govan, is in Robben Island with Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela. And he does not stop there. Tambo moves across Africa, has the opportunity to address the United Nations Congress about apartheid. And when history is written, it will be said that indeed it was because of Thabo's activities that the apartheid system was declared a crime against humanity. In the 1960s, particularly in the late 1960s, Thabo also moves to Tanzania and has a good rapport with Julius Kambarage Nyerere. And it is with Julius Kambarage Nyerere that he forges an alliance, as indeed he does with Kenneth David Kaunda. And he establishes his house in Lusaka, Zambia. And during that period, a lot of activities are taking place in South Africa. At that time, Bantu Stephen Biko has started the Black Consciousness Movement. And he appeals to Stephen Biko, although he does not meet him because he is in exile, to ensure that all efforts are directed towards the elimination of the apartheid regime. He also engages in conversation with Gacha Buthelezi of the Inkatha Freedom Movement. And after the Soweto massacres in 1976, and specifically because of the deaths that occurred during that period, he persuades Mwalimu Kambarage Nyerere to establish in 1979 the Solomon Mahlangu Schools, which are based in Morogoro in Tanzania, then become the base for the training of many young South Africans in the fight against apartheid. Oliver becomes the engine of South African resistance. And this must be appreciated because most of the critical leaders are in prison. The critical leaders at that time, as we know, are Mandela, Mbeki, Kathrada, and even outside of prison, individuals such as Joe Slovo of the Communist Party and Ruth Fast of the Communist Party and Mark Maharaja are also not available in the struggle against apartheid. And it is instructive that while he is outside, it is Tambo who actually organizes for the financing and the arming of Mkhonto we Sizwe, which is the military wing of the ANC. He only returns to South Africa in 1990, and at that time, he is sick, he is suffering, and ultimately, of course, he does not participate and he does not see the freedom of South Africa in 1994, because in the month of April 1993, at age 75, Oliver Tambo dies. And that is only 14 days after the assassination of Chris Hani. And when Oliver dies, Nelson Mandela at his funeral says of him that this is the jewel of our crown. And 30 years later, in 1993, indeed a documentary is made of Oliver Tambo under the title The Jewel of the Crown. Who then was Oliver Reginald Kaizana Tambo? When history is written, it will be said of him that he was the engine of the African National Congress at a critical time. It will be said of him that it is him who was in the forefront of the commencement of the negotiations of the Convention of Democratic South Africa, CODESA. It will be said of him that it is him who marshaled resources for ANC. It will be said of him that he was the quintessential roving ambassador for the African National Congress. It will be said of him that he was a man who believed in a South Africa that respected all races. It will be said of Oliver Tambo that he is the one who kept the movement alive. It will be said of him that he was the ultimate sacrificer, because for 30 years he remained outside of South Africa, sacrificing his family. And it will also be said of his wife Adelaide that they were the ultimate sacrificers. Indeed, today, when we talk about Oliver Tambo, we talk of an icon. I remember when the debate took place in South Africa as to which name the airport in South Africa should be given, the Jan Smuts Airport at that time, there were those who argued that a decision had been taken that no South African physical facility would ever have an individual's name, but an exemption was given. And today the airport in Johannesburg in South Africa is named after O.R. Tambo. O.R. Tambo is immortalized because he was a quintessential national hero, but he did not stop there. O.R. Tambo was also a Pan-Africanist, and that is why his dalliance with Kenneth David Kaunda, his dalliance with Julius Kambarage Nyerere, his dalliance with freedom fighters such as Joshua Nkomo and Robert Mugabe. And he was also an internationalist in the sense that he visited many countries in the world with a view to informing them of the situation in South Africa. He was present in Moscow. He was present in China. He was present in Sweden. Oliver Tambo had a world view which must be remembered throughout the ages. And indeed, when the history of South Africa is written, it will be said of him that he belongs to the pantheon that started with that small act in the year 1944, when he, Oliver Tambo, Nelson Mandela, and Walter Sisulu formed the African National Youth League. And from thence on, they ensured that the struggle against apartheid took a different trajectory. He was a breath of fresh air in the struggle for independence. He said himself that I am not a pacifist, but I am not one who will see our people being decimated if we can use force of arms. And it is instructive, therefore, that it is courtesy of Oliver Reginald Tambo that South Africa is what it is today. Unfortunately, as I have already indicated, he did not live to see the fruits for what he fought for. Having died a year earlier, Oliver Tambo is otherwise immortalized along those who are present, immortalized along great South Africans, immortalized along great Africans, immortalized along great human beings, immortalized for all time. Oliver Reginald Kaizana Tambo was a great man, a great African, and a great human being. The conversation about the continent of Africa and our heroes and heroines is one that never ends. But let us say our goodbyes in the knowledge that we'll come again to continue the conversation. Thank you.